It's Marketplace Tech for December 16th. I'm Ben Johnson in New York. If you want to talk about the OG of business software, Oracle would be in the running. The company has long been mentioned in the same breath as Microsoft as a leader in business software and makes a lot of money licensing that software. More recently, Oracle's been pushing to compete in a newer era, cloud computing. Pat Walravens at JMP Security says cloud still makes up just 10% of Oracle's revenue.
No, and you would never guess that from listening to their earnings call. If you listen to their earnings call, all they talk about is the cloud. But when you look at the actual numbers, you say, wow, this business is still really small compared to the rest of the business.
That may also be true when the company announces latest earnings today after the bell. Even though Oracle's fundamentals might be strong, Walraven says it has new competition starting to cut into its older cash flow.
Amazon Web Services is an $8 billion business that is growing 80% per year. It's crazy. They are absolutely destroying a part of the software business, much like what Amazon did to parts of the retail industry.
Pat Walravens at JMP Securities will know better later today how Oracle is doing at holding out against its younger tech competitors. Remember about a month ago when the connected toy company VTech was hacked and the hacker gave evidence of the company's vulnerabilities to the publication Motherboard? Well, authorities in the UK have picked up a 21-year-old man in England who may be that hacker. Dave Lee is a reporter with our partner, the BBC. He says the hacker may struggle to defend himself against UK law, even if the hacker's intentions were good.
It'll be under the Computer Misuse Act, which is this very, very broad act that we have in the UK that covers all sorts of things, whether it's hacking or, you know, sometimes even things like piracy. So it's a very, very broad act. It doesn't make a distinction between, you know, unlawfully accessing a computer system for good. There's no kind of stipulation for how you should be treated if that's the case. You know, the way this whole story has played out is that this person noticed that the site, the VTech's website, was extremely insecure. VTech themselves have since admitted that it was insecure and said they should have done a lot more to keep it safe. He discovered that. He was able to breach their poor security. He didn't publish it. He didn't sell it. It seems like this gentleman's acted like a whistleblower in many respects. Whether that will change what happens to him legally, it will be very interesting to see, because like I say, there's no provision for that at the moment. But I do think there will be a lot of pressure from particularly security researchers who deal with this kind of thing day in, day out, to say, well, look, this person was highlighting a problem which has since been fixed, VTech say. But had it not been for this person, this site would have been sat there completely insecure. And by perhaps punishing this person, does that prevent other people from highlighting security risks because they're worried they might be prosecuted for it?
Dave Lee with the BBC there. While we're talking news across the pond, the EU is considering new restrictions for how teenagers sign up for and use messaging services, from Snapchat to Facebook. The so-called digital age of consent, as in how old you have to be to sign up and agree to terms of service, could go from 13 to 16 years old. Marketplace Tech is listener-supported. To keep our coverage relevant and awesome, please make a tax-deductible gift to Marketplace today. Your gift in any amount counts twice, thanks to a dollar-for-dollar match from the Candida Fund. Help us keep you up to date and well-informed wherever you are. Donate at marketplace.org by December 31st. We've been playing you content from our new Codebreaker podcast. Today's episode, which just dropped, is about going viral online and whether that process is good or bad for us. Julia Cordray is the founder of People, which was originally billed as a kind of Yelp for real human beings. People went viral, and the reaction was very negative. At one point, Cordray was getting 100 emails a minute, and then it got worse.
My phone, once my phone number went public, I was getting phone calls every 10 minutes, all day, every day, for 7 days straight.
Were you getting threatening phone calls? I mean, were you?
Absolutely. Yeah, wow. Yes, I was getting death threats, threatening phone calls. And that's really shocking considering I hadn't even launched a product yet. on a Saturday, the first Saturday of the craziness, that's when the death threats happened. So that was, you know, when my colleague and I were sitting in front of our computers, we're on YouTube, and we're reading some of the comments, and literally the anonymous group, the anonymous hacking group, posted my home address and said, here's her address so you can go kill her. And, you know, that was definitely a low.
Here's her address so you can go kill her.
Here's her address so you can go kill her. And
what do you, what did you do when you read that?
I called the police. I called the police in Canada, and I called the police in San Francisco.
Were you at a residence when you read that?
Yeah.
Did you leave the residence?
No, I was not at the residence that they posted because I was living in San Francisco, and I'm normally living in Canada, in Calgary. So what was even more terrifying is that address that was posted was my old address, okay? So I had sold that property in January to somebody else. And so I was concerned about the protection of the person who's currently living at the address that the world thinks is mine. So that was even more terrifying, was that somebody else could get hurt over complete stupidity.
Is going viral good or bad?
Going viral is an experience, and everyone will experience it differently. For the business, it was great. For me personally, it was
probably at times not so great.
Yeah, at times definitely not fun.
Hear more of Julia's story and a lot more on codebreaker.codes or search for Codebreaker in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Ben Johnson, and that's our show today. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.